Today we are going to talk about how Queen Victoria came to the throne. King George IV had been succeeded by his brother William, who died without a legitimate heir, although he was survived by a number of illegitimate children. George IV's only daughter, Princess Charlotte, had died in childbirth in 1817.
There was a rush to marry when Princess Charlotte, who is the daughter of George IV and his estranged wife Caroline, she died in childbirth, and the baby was stillborn, the son was stillborn. So there was no natural heir to the throne. So all the existing children of George III, of whom there were 12 living at that time, there had been 15, all who were in irregular unions, they were either with mistresses or they had illegitimate children or they were married to people who were not of royal blood. So there was an absolute panic for everybody to acquire a legitimate wife and acquire a legitimate child who could be heir to the throne of England.
It seems that Victoria grew up under the influence of a certain Captain John Conroy. We know that her relationship with him came to be tempestuous. What is your view on this?
Captain John Conroy was an Irish. He's of Irish descent. And he had been in the army, not particularly successful, actually. He hadn't fought at Waterloo. He hadn't had much of a career in the army. And he became the equerry to the Duke of Kent. And when the Duke of Kent died, of course, less than a year after marriage, he joined the household of the Duchess of Kent, Victoria's mother. He was, as I say, of Irish descent. He was supposed to be quite a charming man. He was quite a persuasive man. He was quite a talker. He was actually quite a crude man and quite a sort of rough man, and he was very ambitious, and in the end he turned out to be very, very manipulative. He was married himself. He married the daughter of the Bishop of Salisbury, and he had 6 children. But he did become very close to the Duchess of Kent. She was supposed to have been in love with him. Whether he was in love with her seems very unlikely. John Conroy, having not made much of a success of the army, I think saw his future in being, as it were, the almonel's grise behind the throne. Because after all, Victoria was young. The chances are that if she did come to the throne, if she did actually manage to survive, because that was what it was a question of, whether she would sort of survive to the end and nobody else would, then she would probably come to the throne as a young girl, inexperienced, because she was not being brought up at court quite deliberately. She was being brought up in Kensington Palace. And so he very much saw his ambitions became centred on becoming the power behind the throne.
As you've already pointed out, Victoria was brought up in Kensington Palace. How did this fact influence her?
The Kensington system did benefit Victoria. I think they benefited her in 2 ways. One was the fact that actually she was kept away from court. And the reputation of the court at Windsor and Buckingham Palace was not high. All her scurrilous uncles, her disgraceful uncles. And the idea of a young girl coming to the throne without that sort of baggage, of course she had it, I mean she was the heir to their throne, but I mean without that sort of baggage, a fresh young girl, a new start for the monarchy, I think was hugely important. But the other thing was, of course, which her uncle Leopold, who was very, very hot on constitutional matters, pointed out, was she'd had invaluable lessons at Kensington Palace. She had learnt how to disport herself with dignity, with politeness, with correctness, and yet stick to her own last, you know, to keep what she wanted and keep her will and her way, but without actually, you know, behaving badly or having tantrums or any of these things. And that was an invaluable lesson for a queen.
We could say that Victoria had a troubled childhood. Did this affect the way she carried out her obligations as a queen?
I think that Victoria's really very difficult childhood had a number of effects on her when she became queen. I think on the one hand, the iron entered her soul, and she was all the disputes and difficulties and the way that her mother and Conroy tried to influence her made her really very resolute, that she knew what she wanted and she was going to be steely and ice cold in getting it, and she was going to aim for her goals. And the other thing was, I think, that the tension between Kensington Palace and court and the example of the dissolute royals and her uncles and all these sort of machinations and things, that made her determined to be a very moral and a very straightforward and a very strict queen and a disciplinarian with herself, if you like. And I think the other thing was this really melancholy childhood, which is how she described it. I mean, she had a half-sister, Fedora, and she was quite close to her, but really it was a very lonely childhood. And she didn't feel, of course, close to her mother. I think it gave her a very strong sense of family. And, of course, when she married, she had 9 children. And she very much, I think, had the idea of a family on the throne, which is how the constitutionalist Walter Bagot put it. And that gave a new turn to the monarchy, which is one, in a sense, which is still with us today, the idea of a royal family as opposed just to, as had been for some time, an old roué, a rake, a madman on the throne. You had a respectable, dare I say it, middle-class value family on the throne.